Genesis chapter 20. It says Abraham journeyed. Everybody's in a journey. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah's wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man." That'd be quite a dream to get from God. Behold, that's a attention-getting word. "Thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Now there's quite a sentence from the Lord. "I'll kill you all." Therefore Abimelech rose up early in the morning, I would too, and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou?" The word means to perceive. It's like, what were you thinking? "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. It came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, 'This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother.' And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee.' And Sarah, and unto Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all others, thus she was reproved.'" So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid servants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Let's pray. Father, so many stories for us here. Lessons to learn, if we're teachable. And so I pray you help us, God, to be teachable. These things are written for our admonition. Help us be admonished. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham was a pretty special fellow. His name is mentioned in the Bible 231 times. 69 of those times are in the New Testament. He lived hundreds and hundreds of years before the New Testament was written. So as I said earlier, we're all going on a journey, and the dictionary definition of a journey is the act of going from one place to another. We're all doing that. Physically we're doing that. Spiritually we're doing that. Especially spiritually. Now, if you're going on a journey physically, it's best to know how to get there. You need to know the directions. Years ago, a young man asked me how to get to a certain town in Wisconsin. I said, it's very simple. You take this road, you go across here for an hour, you'll see a sign that says North Wisconsin. Well, he went over there, and sometime later he called me on his cell phone and said, do you have to go through Ohio to get to Wisconsin? Well, if you know the geographic location over there, that's about 2 hours south of where he should have been when he should have turned north. What happened? He missed the sign. He didn't follow the directions. Now, the Bible is full of directions. It's a book of directions. And if we don't follow the directions, we are going to get in trouble. Now, we read in this story that Abraham went south. I'm sure you've heard that phrase. When everything goes wrong and everything fails, what do you say? Everything went south. I don't know why they say south. I don't know where that came from. I tried to look it up on the internet and I got six answers, so it doesn't matter. It says, they say everything went south. Well, it says here in verse 1 that Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south. And when he did, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. Now, life is simply a bunch of choices and consequences. A choice is an act of making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. And we're always faced with two or more possibilities. Right when you wake up, you got one possibility, stay in bed. Another possibility, get out of bed. Just two choices. Consequences are the end results of our decisions. Now, Abraham made some decisions here, and he paid some very serious consequences. He journeyed south. The Bible says Abraham journeyed, Lot journeyed, Jacob journeyed, Israel journeyed, the people journeyed. Paul says, them that journeyed with me. Everybody's in a journey. So not only did Abraham journey, but you'll see in verse 2, Abraham said. Now, we're on a trip. And on that trip, we're going to do a lot of talking. I forget how many words an average person says in a day, but it's a lot. So Abraham said, we got the trip and we got the talk. Abraham said of Sarah, she's my sister. Abraham said, the word said is in the Bible 4,002 times. Jesus said this, for by thy words thou shalt be justified and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By thy words. Abraham has been traveling for quite a while. I really wish this story wasn't in the Bible, but if you go back with me, please, to Genesis chapter 12. This is 24 years earlier. 24 years is a long time to be walking with the Lord. You'd think a man like Abraham would have learned something. Well, we see in verse 9, Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south. Did you not learn, Abraham, 24 years ago, that this road going south, everything will go south? Did you not learn this? And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down. Every time Egypt is mentioned, it's down. Down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So I say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake and for my soul, for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he had treated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. How would you like to be, sir? Get traded off for some camels and donkeys and oxen and sheep. I wish this story wasn't in the Bible. More, I wish it wasn't in the Bible 24 years later when he did the same thing. 18, and Pharaoh called Abram, said, "What is this that thou hast done to me? Why didst thou not tell me she was thy wife? Why sayest thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. And they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. What a great testimony. Unsaved, wicked Pharaoh, hellbound sinner, saying to this godly prophet, "Why did you do this? Why did you do it?" "Well, just say she's my sister. She's my sister." I like what God said back in 20 in verse number 3 when he talked to Abimelech. "Behold, thou art a dead man." God's warnings are always very clear. You know, sometimes as preachers we'll want to get a point across, so we'll preach a 45-minute sermon and throw a one-liner in there and hope they get it. God didn't do that. He said, "Abimelech, you touch her, you're dead." That's pretty plain. Well, in verse 4, Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Said he, that is Abraham, "Said he not unto me, she is my sister?" And she, even she, Sarah, herself said, "He is my brother. And in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." Integrity? What's that mean? Strong moral principles. Abimelech was a wicked womanizer. He was gathering all the women he could get together. I mean, he was just, "Oh, here's another one. She's kind of pretty, I think." And integrity? Strong moral principles? In the integrity of my heart, the innocency of my hands, I haven't done anything wrong. Look at what God said. Verse 6. And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart." God isn't saying, "Yeah, I agree with you. You are a wholesome young man." He said, "No, I know the integrity of your heart, you wicked womanizer. I know it was the integrity of your heart that you took her, you immoral, wicked king." "I know," he said. Now he said, "I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." It wasn't your integrity that got you out of trouble. It was God's mercy. 7. Now, I like it when God says that. "Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee." God knows. No excuse for Abraham's sin, but God knows he is but flesh. Even Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, said, "The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am." He had that old nature. And God said, "Now, you with your integrity of heart, I will get this fellow who you've been yelling at because of what he did, I'll get him to pray for you, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, Know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. I'm going to kill you, your wife, your cows and your oxen and your asses and your sheep and your camels. Verse 8, therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning. Can you imagine? I don't know. You know, he's not reclining in, sleeping in this day. He's not getting much sleep at all. He rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. What a great testimony. Let me tell you about Abraham. Prophet of God. Oh, yeah, we would call him a fundamentalist. Let me tell you about him in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Why? Because God said, didn't do the right thing, he'll kill you all. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done? Can you imagine this wicked, immoral king saying to the prophet, what have you done? What have you done? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? And here's this wicked man saying, thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. You shouldn't be doing this, Abraham. You're God's guy. Years ago, I used to work in a General Motors dealership as a parts department. And there's a showroom out here with cars, and there's a parts counter right there. And behind the parts counter is where I worked. Every day at noon hour, the salesmen would come in and they would sit down in the parts department there just behind the counter where there was a little table. And they would play euchre. They would play cards every noon hour they would play. I would jump up and grab my sandwiches and sit on one of the bins that was there and watch them play. But I'm a Christian. I don't play cards. Well, one day, after months of me watching them play, one of the salesmen, a customer, came in. And so he quickly jumped up and said, hey, Bob, take my place here. And he went out to serve the customer. I jumped down off the counter. So there I was, playing cards with the other three guys. Is that a big sin? Well, this lady who worked in the office came in. And she saw me, and she came over. And she was aghast. She, what are you doing? Playing cards. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to play cards. I had witness to her for months and months and months. Not anymore. You're not supposed to play cards, she said. I don't think playing cards is the unpardonable sin. I don't think it's as wicked as it's just simply wrong. All things, the Bible says, are not sin, but some things are just not a good idea. We are supposed to be a testimony before everybody, aren't we? You're doing things he said you ought not to do. Look at Abraham, verse 11. Abraham said, well, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Because I thought. Yeah, he did some thinking back in chapter 12, too. You've had 24 years to figure this out, Abraham. Because you thought? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8, O ye of little faith, why reason ye? Why reason ye? Why think ye among yourselves? Now, you know, we've talked about that word faith quite a bit. This is one of only five times in all of the Bible where the word faith means trust. The rest of the times it means what you believe. And Jesus said, O ye of little trust, why reason ye among yourselves? Abraham, these are brand new disciples that Jesus had. They're just starting out the trip. Abraham, I don't know how long it is before the first time in chapter 12, and now 24 years later, he's still not learned to trust God. Do we trust him when the circumstances don't look good? Like somebody might kill you. Oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye or think ye among yourselves. Mark 2:8, why reason ye these things in your heart? Luke 5:22, why reason in your heart? Abraham said, well, because I thought they will slay me. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, God said. My ways are not your ways. Genesis 6:5 is the first time we find anybody thinking about anything that the Bible mentions. It says the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Psalm 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Hey, what are you thinking? God said, I don't know what you're thinking. Vanity. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Abraham, have you not learned this all these years? Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And it won't be south again, Abraham. Isaiah 65:2, a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Jeremiah 4:14, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Micah 4:12, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. Matthew 5:19, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Jesus said in Mark 7:21, for from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Here's one. 1 Corinthians 3:20, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. Even the wise. God says, your thoughts are vain. Why reason ye among yourselves when you could talk to me? God says. Abraham, have you learned nothing? Can you not trust God in your circumstances? Do you not remember chapter 12 when everything went south? Because you went south. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All these things happen unto them, Abraham, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world come. There we are. We're there now. God says, I wrote all this down so you could be admonished at the end of the world. The word admonished carries with it the idea of warning. Now, what did Abraham do? I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't repent. He started making excuses. Now, when the prodigal, the Bible says the prodigal son, he ended up in the pig pen. I wonder if he went south. He probably did. I haven't checked that story. But he ended up in the pig pen. And the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, I could go back, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he was full of repentance. What's Abraham do? No repentance, just a bunch of excuses. Oh, I thought I might get killed. Look at 12. She is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. What a half-truth here. There's no, hey, I'm sorry, I made a despicable, stupid mistake, and I brought, you know, evil upon the cause of God. I'm so sorry. No. Oh, she's my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And not only that, it's not my fault, God's fault. 13, God caused me to wander from my father's house. If he'd have just left me there in Ur, none of this would have happened. Abraham, I wish this chapter wasn't in the Bible. This is not some fella that's just got saved and been walking the road for a couple of months. This is Abraham. Oh, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. He caused me to wander. And everywhere we went, he says in verse 13, just say that I'm your brother. Well, back in
In verse 12, we read it there. Chapter 12, verse 18, Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Take her," he said in verse 19, "take her and go thy way." And they sent him away and his wife. Send him away. Get out of the country. We don't want you around. Look at verse 16 of chapter 20. "And unto Sarah, he," Abimelech, "said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver." Now, this is in sarcasm. Thy brother? Not your husband. Now, Pharaoh didn't say that back in chapter 12. He said, "I give your husband this stuff." But now, the sarcasm of Abimelech. "Behold, Sarah, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver." Thus, it says at the end of 16, she was reproved. Way to go, Sarah. Way to go. Go with me, please, to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Like father, like son. "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac, his son, went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar," verse 7, "and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife. Said he, The men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." Like father, like son. So Abraham journeyed. We're all on a journey. Abraham went south, and because he chose to go south, everything went south. Because he chose to go south. Life is simply a bunch of choices and consequences. That's it. He said, because I thought, human reasoning, check it out. Check out. Every time you see the word reasoning in the New Testament, it's there a lot. Every time when they reasoned among themselves, it went wrong. Every time. Why reason ye among yourselves? That'd be like Philip and I trying to figure out how to do something. And we're having a coffee and we're discussing this. And we say, well, I think we should do this. And yeah, maybe that's a good idea. And there's Jesus. He's there. Sitting at the table, and we don't even bother talking about it. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Why reason ye among yourselves? I created everything. I've got all knowledge. Why don't you talk to me?" We studied the story of Balaam, Balak, the king of Moab, and he sends 400 miles to get Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel, because the children of Israel had been coming through and making victory after victory, and they're now encamped right up next to Moab, and Moab and all the people were afraid, and so he sends off to get Balaam to come and curse Israel because he's afraid, you know, what Israel is going to do. And God had already said to Moses, don't attack Moab. All Balak had to do, the king, all he had to do was talk to Moses. Could have saved a whole lot of trouble. Talk to somebody who's been talking with God. No. See, they had their council meeting. And, oh, go get Balak. He's the soothsayer of the century. We can get him to curse Israel. He just had to relax. Moses had no intentions of attacking Moab. These things are written for our admonition. Abram journeyed south, and when he did, everything went south. Let's be admonished. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn. Help us to learn from these stories that you've put here for us. Help us to keep our focus on you. Help us, Lord, because we are weak. In Jesus' name, amen.